you can sit at a table and it can have everything displayed and set out for you, you know. And you can look at all the good food and say, wow, that's an amazing spread there, you know. And I bet it tastes really good even, you know. And well, the host says, well, you're invited to partake of my table, you know. But if you don't reach out in faith and receive what's freely given, you'll never know. And the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I've discovered that he's the greatest. Amen. And the Lord truly is good and desirable. He is delightful. The Bible says to delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, you can't delight in a God that's not delightful. And you can't love a God that's not lovable. But he's delightful and he's lovable. Amen. And so that's why we open our hearts to Jesus. We trust him. Somebody that you trust, you will open your heart to and allow them, amen, to come close to you. And the Lord wants you to trust him and to give him access to your life, because he won't barge the door down. And he's the only one that can fix us. He's the only one that can transform us. He's the only one that can save us. Amen. He's the only one that can change the heart of man. We don't have that capability. We can change habits. We can change appearance, but we cannot change our hearts. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. But you've got to listen to the voice when God is knocking on the door of your heart. He's knocking at our hearts today. He said, if you hear my voice and open the door, give him access. And you make yourself vulnerable, you know, when you lift up your holy hands. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says holy because by the blood of Christ we can have holy hands. Amen. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. And then you can have access to him because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So now you can come with confidence or with boldness to the throne of grace and lift up your hands to him. And that is an international sign of surrender. Put your hands up. Amen. And so when you surrender to God, you're surrendering to the one who loves you the most. And who only came to save. Amen. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I was one. Today I'm a new creation because of Jesus. Amen. We're not up here acting. That would be a hypocrite, right? A hypocrite is an actor. Stage actor is what that means. But when you authentically encounter the living God and when he comes to dwell within your life, you become a new creation. Not a patch-up of the old thing, but a new creation. When you're born again, then you can know the goodness of God in your life. But you have to open your heart to receive. Is that right? Amen? If you go to give a friend a hug, or a husband or a wife or your children, you open your arms to them, right? And you embrace them. When you trust the Lord, you do likewise. You open your arms, you open your hearts to him, amen? And embrace him. In a sense, you're giving the Lord a hug in the spirit. And saying, Lord, have me. I give you access to all of me. Amen? How many know there are no secrets with God? He knows all about you. Amen. You may fool people, but we don't fool God. So you might as well just get right with God. Amen. Because he wants you to get right with him because he died for you, that you could be right with him. He paid the price we deserve to pay. Yeah. And we know that the Father accepted the sacrifice of Jesus and that he raised him from the dead. On the third day, Jesus rose again. Payment in full. Do you understand what Jesus did? Jesus dealt with the sin problem. He broke the power of sin. You look around in your world and say, well, I'm looking at all kinds of a mess out here in this world, right? Well, guess what? Jesus died for sinners. He died for broken people. We're all broken people. Can you say amen? And he came to save and to heal and to restore us to fellowship. Amen. With our Heavenly Father. To call us sons and daughters. To give us an inheritance. Hallelujah. He wants to share his kingdom with us. That's his desire. It's your Father's good pleasure, he said, to give you the kingdom. What can we offer in exchange? Well, this broken vessel. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Say, Lord, be merciful to me. For we've all sinned and fallen short. And that's why Jesus came and bled. Shed that precious blood. The sinless Lamb of God bore the sins of the world. The Bible says that the Father laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And he dealt with the sin problem. So even now, hear me, the sin problem has already been broken. People need to know that. You need to know that. You don't have to be a slave to the things that you hate. You don't have to be a slave, all right, to sin, because Jesus took care of that. And he wants you to be set free from the power of sin because he's already dealt with the sin problem. In John 3, Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than the light. And they don't come into the light lest their deeds be exposed. But how many know they're already exposed? Amen. The emperor has no clothes, okay? We're walking around exposed, all right? And God wants to cover you. He wants to cleanse you and he wants to clothe you. Hallelujah. He wants to deliver you from guilt and shame. Jesus paid for that at the cross. That you can have a clean heart. You can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus came to reconcile the world back to the Father. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. God wants you to be saved. If you're willing, if you're obedient, if you'll trust him, if you'll let him have your heart, he'll save you. But if you refuse and rebel, then you will go into judgment, bearing your own sins. And no one is able to stand in the judgment of God except those whose sins have been forgiven. And that's what Jesus came to do, is to offer the forgiveness of sins, to pay the price, and now extend to you this thing called grace. What we don't deserve, what we cannot earn, and yet he gave himself so that we could be forgiven. He paid the price that we deserved to pay because we owed a debt we could never pay. That is the love of God displayed for us on the cross as he was beaten and crucified, brutally crucified, and shed that precious blood. That was not the blood of Adam, that was the blood of God, and only the blood of God could atone for sin. That's why the angel told Mary, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow, amen, you. And that which is born of you is born of the Holy Spirit. So the blood would not be linked to Adam and his race as we've all fallen through transgression. But the blood in Christ would be the pure, sinless blood that could pay for the sins of the world. And God is extending an invitation for us to be forgiven and to be restored to fellowship with him. This is the gospel. This is the simple gospel. For God so loved the world. That word loved means agapeo, This is the love of God. It is a self-sacrificing love that he gave. We didn't deserve Jesus, but he gave. And he did it to prove his love for us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died. You see, people that refuse the gospel, refuse the love of the truth, will get what they deserve. And that is hell. But if you say yes, you're willing to trust your soul to him who is able to keep it, save it, amen? Then you will enter into life. And you will experience what Jesus called the new birth. He said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes we think, well, I just need to change a few habits and make a few adjustments, and then somehow I'll be right with God. No, you can't do that. The problem is no sin can abide in his presence. We're all unholy, and he is holy. And the only way to be holy is by receiving the gift of his holiness, who is Jesus. It is his precious blood that makes us holy, that qualifies us for his presence. God wants you to be saved. But if you don't give your life to him, he can't save you. Because he gives you the choice. Choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there's going to be a resurrection. Actually, there's going to be two resurrections. One, Jesus said, was the resurrection of the just. And the other is the resurrection of condemnation or the damned. And there is a future resurrection, amen, where all are going to stand before God. When we take our last breath, there won't be any time to go back and change anything, to make amends, to forgive others, to make peace with man and with God. And that's why it is imperative that we understand today is the day of salvation. And that today is the day we must come to the Lord who alone can save us. Because there's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a present resurrection for those who are born again. When you receive Christ and Christ comes to dwell within you, you are actually united together with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. You become alive spiritually, raised up together with Christ and seated in the heavenly places. Amen. So there is a present resurrection through the new birth, but then there will be a future bodily resurrection when this mortal would put on immortality. This corruptible body, amen, will put on an incorruptible body at the last trump. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Amen. Be ready. But this resurrection can only be experienced by those who have truly repented. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, that was idolatry, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. In other words, Jesus is not only our Savior, he's not only our advocate, our defense attorney, amen, if you will call on him. He represents you, your case before the Father. How many know the prosecutor, amen, is that devil who points the finger of accusation and accuses you before the throne? Jesus is your representative before the Father, your advocate, that you call upon him. Say, Lord, forgive me. Well, the price for that sin has been paid in full, And because of the blood of Jesus, you can receive forgiveness. But God saves you, amen, with a purpose. And that is to no longer live for yourself, but for Him who died and rose again. So in Acts 3 and verse 19, it says, repent, change direction, change your mind, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Today, God is giving us that opportunity, you see. We're still living at what we call the dispensation of grace, the church age. But there's coming a time when the Lord will say, time is up. The door will be closed. And there will be those who will knock and say, Lord, Lord, open the door to us. And it will be too late. In John chapter 5, verse 26, Jesus said, as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, first resurrection, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation, second resurrection. The resurrection of life, we see this in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Now the resurrection of condemnation is in Revelation 20 and verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. In verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And in verse 14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, I want you to pause with me a moment here and let's look at this. Hades is different than hell in this sense. It's a disembodied state of conscious punishment, and it's sort of a holding tank, an intermediate condition where the unsaved wait the judgment of the great white throne judgment, as we just read. There's no purgatory, by the way, mentioned in the Bible. Hell, or Gehenna, is the final prison of the wicked dead. And it is the same as the lake of fire, or the second death. And verse 15 says, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so all will be raised to stand judgment. All will be raised to stand judgment. Judgment. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So someday we're going to take our last breath, aren't we? The question is where will I spend eternity? Which resurrection will you be a part of? Do you know that for sure? To those who repent of their sins and trust in Jesus, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. So when we take our last breath, amen, we go right into the presence of God, because positionally we are already seated with Him. But we have to deal with this veil of the flesh. And 1 John 4:16. This is how we can know we have peace with God, and that you will no longer be in fear of this judgment. Do you understand that every one of us here have that appointment with God? You see, the fear of the Lord will protect you. Amen? The fear of the Lord, there needs to be a healthy reverence, and understand that Jesus paid such a price. He displayed His love for us. He poured Himself out for us. Amen? So that we could be rescued from hell. He's not willing that anyone should perish and go to hell. He had to come and take our place because we are incapable of saving ourselves. That is the love of God that's been displayed for us. And someday, we're going to take our last breath. In 1 John 4:16, we know how much God loves us. And we have put our trust in His love. God is love. The same word we see in John 3:16, for God so agapeod. Agape love. God is agape, it says. It's the highest form of love. And all who live in God, or live in love, live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. And such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. God wants you to know that you have eternal life. God wants you to have His peace in your heart. God wants you to have a confident assurance that when you die, you're not going to be, amen, condemned, but that you will be saved. And that when you die, you will be able to face the Lord in that day, amen, even with confidence. Because as He was in this world, so are we. Because we live for Jesus, amen? We already have a relationship with Jesus. We know His heart. He walks with me, He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. Do you have that confident assurance? God wants you to know. He wants you to have peace. He doesn't want you to live in fear. He doesn't want you to live in guilt or in shame or in condemnation. That is why He came, to save. Amen. Do you have peace with God today? Do you have that assurance today? God wants you to have that kind of assurance today. Hallelujah. Because those who are united with Christ through this new birth have passed from death unto life. Remember the thief on the cross in Luke 23:43. Jesus said, because He said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And He says, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Why? Because this individual took responsibility for his sin. He says, I'm here because I deserve to be here. The other one mocked the Lord. If you will take responsibility today, Jesus has already covered that. Amen. He's already paid the price for that. And He will forgive you. And He will give you His life. Amen. That sounds like a pretty good deal. I give Him this old thing. He gives me the new life in Him. I exchange death for life. Amen. Hate for love. Hallelujah. You see, fear has torment. But when you are filled with the love of God, the Bible says love casts out all fear. So there's no fear in love. You need to have that assurance, folks. You need to make sure you make your peace with your Lord. How many know we're living in the last days? And God is giving people still an opportunity to be saved. Can I ask everyone to bow your heads this morning? I believe the Holy Spirit is drawing you today. There are some here that you know you're not really right with the Lord. And the Lord, if He's knocking on your door, if He's tugging on your heart this morning, do not resist the Lord. The Bible says, do not resist the Spirit of the Lord. He's not going to strive with you forever. Today, you have an opportunity to pass from death into life. You need to turn to Jesus, the only one that can save you. You need to take responsibility for your life and for your actions, and know that your goodness is never going to be good enough. My goodness is not good enough. My goodness is the Lord. And He will give you His goodness if you'll repent today. And that is, make up your mind that you're going to follow Jesus. Give Him access to your heart, you see. God gave you charge over the gate of your heart. Only you can open that door and let Him come in. Would you do that today? Do you want to have that guilt problem dealt with today? You want to know the mercy, the forgiveness, the grace, the love of God in your heart today? Maybe you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of this sin-sick world that we live in. Jesus has something better, much better for those who love and trust Him. Today, I want to encourage you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Come to the Savior. Hallelujah. If you sense the Lord has been drawing you today, He's been speaking to your heart, don't resist Him any longer. Open the door. Give Him access. Trust the Lord today with all your heart. And let His love and His mercy wash over you today. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to give you a shower on the inside. And He wants to come into your life and make you a new creation. Hallelujah. One of His own. No longer a slave to sin, but a son, a daughter of God. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you mean business today and you take responsibility in your heart, I want you to pray this from your heart. I'm just going to help you with this prayer. But we're going to look to Jesus now. He's the only one that can save you. And let's all pray this together out loud. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe You died in my place on the cross, that You shed Your blood that I might be forgiven, and that You rose again that I might be justified. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I can't save myself. Lord Jesus, I ask You, please forgive me for all of my sins. Cleanse me deep within. Lord Jesus, I invite You. Come in to my heart. I open my life to You, to receive You. You said, those who come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, I believe that You died for me, and You rose again, and I confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, I will confess You before men, and You said You would confess me before the Father in heaven. Thank You, Lord. I receive You. Receive me now, Lord. I give You my life. Hallelujah. 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 And praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you make sure you find somebody and you tell them, today I gave my life to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Happy Resurrection Day.